My guest today was on the Old Mole last year. You may remember Denise Morris got a clip of Barbara Mattaloni talking at the Troublemaker School about how and why strikes work. Thank you for coming on the Old Mole today, Barbara Mattaloni.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Barbara is the education coordinator for Labor Notes, and she wrote an article earlier this month titled Unions Are Beginning to Talk About Staving Off a Possible Coup. Who is getting ready for that, and what should workers think of when we talk about getting ready as workers for a possible coup?
You know, I think part of what's been happening that's interesting is I've been a part of sort of informal conversations, pre-Zoom meeting or post-Zoom meeting chats, where labor leaders and workers are sort of saying, well, what are we going to do if he actually refuses to accept the vote and we end up with a coup? And in those conversations, some people sort of started saying, well, we should do something. And as that was sort of fomenting, we had two actions that took place, I believe it was over Indigenous Peoples Weekend, where the Rochester, New York Labor Council passed a resolution that called on AFL-CIO and said they themselves needed to prepare for a call for a strike in the event that Donald Trump does not accept the outcome of the election. He interferes in the voting, I guess, anyway, more than he already has. And that same weekend, right out in your neck of the woods, the Seattle Educators Association passed a motion that called for the SEA board to call an emergency meeting within 7 days of the election if there are concerns about whether or not this has been a fair election and if the fair election was going to be accepted by the current president. And in that emergency meeting to make plans for a call to action that would then be presented to the full membership. We sort of knew that kindling was dry for this kind of action, and there was a few sparks out there. Since then, this past weekend, the Massachusetts Teachers Association board passed a resolution saying that in the event that Trump refuses to accept the terms of a fair election, that they would work with labor and community organizations to engage in peaceful but persistent direct action. And the Western Massachusetts Area Labor Federation, where I am here in Western Massachusetts, passed a resolution very similar to the Rochester resolution. So this is happening in a variety of places. I think a couple of things that we need to be thinking about. One is it isn't enough to pass a resolution. We actually have to communicate with our members about the resolution, and we have to talk to them about why this resolution would be necessary. The idea of a coup is not something that most workers are familiar with in this country. We just assume there's going to be a peaceful transition. And so talking to people about what that can look like, what it means, is really important. And in fact, the United Teachers of Los Angeles, on the phone with their president, Cecily Martinez-Cruz, talking about that they're going to actually have a series of meetings with their membership to say, this is why we're concerned. This is what it could look like. We need to be prepared for action. So I was just really impressed with that as a group that's not only passing the resolution, but going out and doing work to make it happen, because calling a strike isn't going to be enough. I think there's some hope that if Trump interferes with the election, that people will be so agitated and angry that they will take action. But we don't have a strong and long history of doing that in this country. And so workers are going to need support. They're going to need some leadership to make that happen. And we need to be coordinating with each other in order for that to happen.
I wonder what you think workers need to be thinking about as we talk about getting prepared, because normally strike action is something that takes months of coordination, of beating back fears of retaliation, of building support with the community. And there's, you know, a certain amount of expectation, like you're saying, that there's going to be community out there who's just ready to do something about this because this is affecting all of us. And at the same time, we're talking about bold mass action with not a lot of time to plan. What do you think are the most important things to get right so that we could potentially pull off mass action?
Well, I think being prepared to get members together, I mean, what are we? We're less than 2 weeks out from Election Day, as you and I are speaking. So opportunities for members to get together as they're talking about doing in LA, to understand what this could look like. What are the various scenarios that could play out? And as with any organizing conversation, developing a sense of urgency and commitment around that. But I also think it's really important that this be in the context of members talking to each other, because we have to very quickly build a sense of shared commitment and outrage and solidarity around this. I also think that one of the things that will be different if we get there is that there will be lots of people out on the street. I don't doubt that. We've actually seen that over the years that, you know, when Bush invaded Iraq, there were hundreds of thousands, millions of people in the street. Now, when, you know, Trump's inauguration and the Women's March, there were millions of people in the streets. Black Lives Matter, over the past summer, especially, so many people out in the streets. And so there would be sort of a push in that direction, but how we then say workers need to do more than that. And I think that's where it becomes really important that labor leaders be moving this to say that this isn't just about calling people as voters into the streets. It's not just about calling people together, people who have a commitment to their broader community. This is about calling people as workers together to say, we actually have a particular power to do something about this that's more than being in the streets. And that's going to take talking to people. And that's going to take people talking to each other. You know, I'll be really honest, like, if we have to do something, it would be wonderful and beautiful if we can. It's going to be a big step for labor to do this. For labor, where leaders have been, we've had labor leaders who have been squashing strikes and not clearly supporting them. So it is going to be quite a switch to suddenly say, yeah, you should do something about this. So we have to, leaders are going to have to bring members together so that members are building trust with each other so they can take this action. Because most unions have not been out there organizing members to take action, like take work actions, and most unions have not been out there bringing members together to build that kind of solidarity. So it's a big leap for us to do this. The other piece that's going to really complicate it is, and I just saw today on NBC News, that Trumka, president of the National AFL-CIO, is calling an emergency meeting of labor leaders, including SEIU, National Education Association, to make a plan as well in the eventuality of this crisis. That's great. But, you know, as an NEA member, the NEA leadership has not been out there calling for strikes or supporting strike funds. So I don't have a whole lot of trust that they're going to organize people to shut things down, which is what we're going to have to do. I also think that we have to be concerned about the relationship that the national unions in particular have with the Democratic Party, because what we can't do is allow the Democratic Party to decide how they're going to handle this. We have to, it's why a strike is important, is that it's not going to be enough to just be out on the streets and then hope that the Democratic Party, which already sold us out in 2000 on this, is going to not sell us out in terms of how they resolve this. So we have to be organizing to say we're going to be the ones who insist that this is a fair and democratic election, that every vote is counted, and that the determination of the president is based on the votes, not on the Supreme Court.
I wonder whether there will be friction, especially at the highest levels of union leadership, when it comes to strike action effectively being illegal and there being this maybe only apparent contradiction between taking action to protest or to do something about violation of the law, but then also being hamstrung by the labor relations system and the way that it prevents these from happening so often.
Wow. I mean, if that's the case, you know, the law is about power. And if we are being told as workers that we have to obey a law that keeps us from exercising the fullness of our democracy, that will alienate a lot of union members. There's a very big difference between the elite manipulating the law and breaking the law in order to preserve class power and workers saying, we as the workers are going to make a collective decision to be sure that democracy is upheld. I would be not surprised, but terribly disappointed if we went in that direction. This is going to be, if we are here, if we are in a place where there is an attempted coup, it is a crisis, and we have to respond to that crisis. And honestly, I am uncertain that we are prepared to do that. We're just coming off, we're 7 months into this pandemic. We have workers across the country continuing to be forced to work in unconditions. We have educators who are one of the most powerful forces out there in the last few years who we would have hoped had been able to organize their collective power that we've been building in order to refuse to go back into schools that are unsafe. We've not been able to do that in very many places. So we haven't built the capacity to do this. And one of the ways that I'm thinking about this action right now, or these potential actions, is thinking beyond the election and beyond the actions that we may or may not need to take on November 4th and beyond, to really thinking that the lesson either way is that we have to, no matter who's elected, we're going to have to use our collective power to win Medicare for all. We're going to have to use our collective power to win climate justice. We are going to have to use our collective power to abolish the police. We're going to have to use our collective power to fully fund public education, pre-K through higher ed. We're going to have to use our collective power to end debt pyramids for not only our students, but for the ways that municipalities' hands are tied with debt. We have a lot of fights to win here, and they're not going to be won in Congress. They're going to be won because we have organized as workers and are prepared to take meaningful collective action to insist that we work on the better world that we want. So one of the ways that I'm thinking about the work that's happening now is that it is inspiring conversations. It's inspiring connections and relationships that we should be building anyway, so that labor, as labor, can be leading the fight for a better world. And doing that using our most potent weapon, which is our capacity to withhold our labor. We can't be naive about what it means to prepare to withhold our labor. You know, I always think, like, we're walking the road that we're on right now. We are preparing to perhaps act in an emergency, and we will find out a lot about ourselves if that emergency arises by how we react. But beyond that emergency, or if it isn't, the emergency doesn't look like we think it's going to look, we have to keep preparing ourselves. One thing that's been revealed to me once again is a long struggle, and it's not over with a Trump loss by any means.
Thank you so much, Barbara Mattaloni, for coming on and talking about what folks are doing to prepare for this and for the need for a long-term vision for building collective power, no matter who wins the election.
Thanks for having me on.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the wall. Behind us, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved. We're fighting for our freedom. We shall not be moved.